Welcome to the Dissenter Podcast. I'm Sean Tilley. Joining us today is Rudy Frazier, who is a Blue Sky dev that has focused on Black Sky, and he has some interesting perspectives as an early developer for that community and for AT Proto. Thank you for joining us today, Rudy.
Yeah, thanks for having me, y'all. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man, we've been really excited and waiting for this. You know, as we said, to this point, it's all been Activity Pub, you know, or Activity Pub adjacent. And so we definitely wanted to bring on, you know, people that have experiences with the other protocols. And, you know, Black Sky feed is something that I'm a part of and subscribe to. And so I think it's just dope to have you on here and get your perspective.
Word, yeah. Thanks for having me all. Really appreciate the support. Getting Black Sky more exposure. And of course, Damon for being a part of Black Sky and that community.
Of course, of course.
So I guess I'll start with like the lowest level question. What exactly is Black Sky?
So Black Sky is like a suite of tools, but what people mainly know it for right now is the Black Sky custom feed. So when I joined Blue Sky, there was like, it was pretty well known that like it was very not black, and it just didn't feel that way, because there was, before they rolled out custom feeds, there was only one algorithm, which was what is now known as What's Hot Classic, which was like anything that got 12 likes was what you saw in that feed. It was like following and then like What's Hot Classic, anything with 12 likes. And yeah, it was like, and there were like no content filters, you couldn't block people, so it was like just lots of body parts checked out the feed, and predominantly from like white people. And so I was excited about the idea of creating a custom feed that would only show black content, which is like not like, you know, super revolutionary in and of itself, to like just see black content, but it was cool because it wasn't like a machine learning algorithm that learned to pick up like who the black users were in some way, because it wasn't big enough, like, you know, to even do that. So it was pretty unique to be able to just start curating those users and showing that content to people, and then kind of creating this like identity of Black Sky. The word was already there, like people were calling it Black Sky, like people joined Blue Sky and was like, is there a version of Black Twitter here, and if so, is it called Black Sky? And so yeah, just kind of ran with that, built that as the algorithm. So when people join Blue Sky, as they're signing up, the Black Sky feed is one of the ones that get recommended to you as you get onboarded. And it's pretty well used. Right now we're sitting at close to 7 million views, get about a million views a month, up from 80,000 unique users. And the people who are in the feed that the kind of like are making the posts and having conversation, still relatively small, and hoping it gets bigger, but it's now I think like 3,500 folks are in the feed.
Wow. Usually, yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, 400 daily posters.
So you had kind of mentioned a little bit that, you know, in the very beginning when you were doing this, you know, you didn't really have a lot to work with, so to speak, in terms of like, you were just giving this great example about using machine learning to detect like who the black users are and things like that. But what was it like in the very beginning? How did you kind of find a way to build traction with that?
Did like lots of hacky stuff, which is like, I like it, right? I like hacking on things. I like undocumented APIs and stuff, and just finding clever solutions for stuff. So custom feeds weren't really documented to begin with. And you could create them, but they weren't visible in the official Blue Sky client in the beginning. So yeah, it was like, that's kind of just to go show that like, I really wanted to do this. And even if it wasn't like, there wasn't like a tutorial or a path, I was like, I'm going to make this work. And the curation part, there are already people doing like community building on the platform, well known as like Aveta, who invited a bunch of black tech Twitter people over to the platform initially, and would do like all these like posts in the early days of, hey, this is like black people, like reply to this post, say hello. And so I just had built the original feed was the original feed when it started. Because for those who aren't familiar, Blue Sky and App Protocol essentially unbundles all the components that make a social media app. So it unbundles the algorithm, it unbundles moderation, it unbundles the client that you view things through, and it unbundles the like server that like would host the data to begin with. And so basically, yeah, the custom feed is a service that gets ran. And so on startup of the service, I would look at a Vetus post and scrape all the people who reply to it, and that would be and that would be used as a filter as the service with the custom feeds. It looks at everything happening on the network, every like, every post, every reply, and then you basically say like, I want this in the feed or I don't want this in the feed. And so yeah, it would start up, scrape a Vetus post for everyone who replied to it, and then look at the traffic coming across the network and say, these are the folks we want to include in the Black Sky feed. So that was how it kind of like technically worked. And, but yeah, like I mentioned, I was really interested in the algorithm part of Blue Sky. I got onboarded to Blue Sky, not as a person who was invited, but as someone who signed up for the beta in like when I saw it in February. And yeah, I've always had this interest in having more control over the content that I see on the internet, even when it's through a recommendation engine. I always try to like want to tweak those algorithms. So the idea to try to like put that into practice was like really exciting for me. And yeah, making one for like showing the Black users content was like,
That's really awesome. Was it hard to create a custom feed? Like what does that experience look like beyond your initial setup and putting the filters together and stuff like that?
Yeah, and then to tag it into that, because of whether it be disinformation or misinformation, if you can shed some light on how Blue Sky algos work, right? Because I know that the general public are used to these greedy black box algorithms that, you know, we get with, you know, Meta products and Twitter and stuff. So just that was a two-parter, right? Just to kind of help paint that holistic picture, you know, for our listeners, so that way they can understand like what Blue Sky and AT Proto actually offer from a custom feed perspective.
Yeah, so I would say for most people, a lot of what they may want is accomplished by a tool that another third-party dev had created called Skyfeed, which basically allows people to use regex and a couple other things to create like pretty simple feeds. So if someone wants like a feed, like Jay, the CEO of Blue Sky, often uses an example, like they like the Moss feed. And so I think that's just like a regex for, it's probably just like a regex for Moss and it contained in alt text or the post. And then it shows that content. For me, when creating Black Sky, there was like additional needs that are part of that. And I think that probably goes more to what you're talking about, Damon, which is like those Skyfeed feeds, like you can't, like it is just a simple regex. You don't have much control beyond that. You can't say like, take this out the feed, add this manually into the feed. So for Black Sky, there's several different things that needed to be there. One, I wanted to use hashtags because people were familiar with hashtags. Like that's kind of how Black Twitter started. And so just if people use the hashtag Black Sky, I wanted that to work for them. But then I also wanted like, I didn't want people to have to use that every time. So that's where I did stuff in the back end, adding people into the feed. And then I also wanted people to be able to add themselves to the feed, like to just like, you know, skip the step, like use a hashtag and then all your posts show up after that. So then there was the hashtag add to Black Sky. So building the feed was the original one I did in TypeScript, and that was going off of, the Blue Sky team had supplied basically a template for a feed generator. And so I used that and just modified it to do the things that I'm kind of mentioning now. Do the, if someone used a hashtag, but then also if they're a part of this list. And so early on that list was like public, and that was like, I didn't want that to go on for too long. Because there's a risk that people would use Black Sky and weaponize it. And they, there's been instances of that. So then there was a need to like, it just kind of evolved from there. Like there was a need to like, okay, obscure who's a part of it. Like you can't like enumerate the list of people in Black Sky. But yeah, combination of hashtag and then this kind of like membership. And then for the misinformation, disinformation is an important one because custom feeds, they now kind of use as an example of Federation because it's a part of the network that is not controlled by them, by the Blue Sky team, the centralized Blue Sky team. And it is also a form of moderation through curation because basically you're just talking to yourself. If you set up a Blue Sky account and no one follows you and you're not being picked up by any custom feed at all, you're just talking into a void. And so there's no reach there. So then if you are picked up by a custom feed, like let's say you set up an account and you instantly add yourself to Black Sky, which I encourage, like, you know, Black people to do, then you now have this audience of like other Black people, the people who are trying to tune into Black content. And now you're, as I mentioned, like the feed is viewed millions of times. So now it's getting amplified. And then as a result of that, I also feel that it is, as a person amplifying people, like building the thing that amplifies people, to make sure that there's to moderate the content that is being there. Like I at this juncture do not have the power to take down someone else's account or their posts, but I can choose to not include it in the custom feed, in the Black Sky feed. So that's the area of where, as a person who runs a custom feed that is not a Sky feed, you have control to selectively include or exclude certain content. So that's something that's like my like day to day is often like reviewing the feed and just making sure harmful stuff doesn't get in somehow. And, you know, sometimes it's means to like to avoid escalations or pylons. It means like removing certain things, etc.
What does it look like exactly when you find something that's problematic? Like, do you have to actually like edit the metadata of a feed? Are there tools that you can use to, you know, pluck those bad things out so it's not part of people's default view? Like, what does that process look like from your end?
So ultimately, everything is you're basically, when you're running a custom feed, you're consuming data from the fire hose and saving it down to a database of your choosing. It could be SQLite. I use Postgres for mine. And so I just end up going into the, use a Postgres client and like query for the records and delete those. So yeah, it's literally just deleting records from a database at that point.
I didn't realize that the algorithms, ran on a database. Like that sounds ignorant. What I mean is like, I didn't realize the custom feeds were built that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically like hosting a database somewhere and that's what generates the custom feed.
Mm-hmm. So database and your, whatever your client application is, but yeah, you're saving state. And then, so whenever people write algorithmic feeds, like it's some complex SQL query that they're running more than often than not.
Wow. I had no idea. Yeah. So is there tooling that helps make your job better with that or make your job easier? Or is there something that you wish that you had that maybe would not require you to go directly into the SQL layer and start changing things around?
It's 100%. If I had more time, I would build more stuff around that. I foresee, yeah, if there's, it's why it's, there's a cool opportunity for app protocol in the space to build developer tool. There's a whole ecosystem that I think could be built out with it that would make the job of like a feed operator or just like all parts of the Blue Sky like stack easier, but none of it is there yet. So everything is kind of built from scratch. Totally. You know, some of the third party devs built like a Python SDK, but that's more like there's more stuff for like client interactions versus like the stuff that I do.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, so leaning into some of the aspects that Sean was leaning into, and I know you alluded to it previously in terms of experiences where people have attempted to cause harm, right, or manipulate Black Sky Feed. And, you know, obviously with some of those situations, you know, like I was online when that happened, and you were, and some people were mass blocking people of color. I remember when that first kind of exposed, you know, so we got to kind of get into the nitty gritty a little bit just to, you know, kind of shed light and help people understand, you know, what you mean by, you know, kind of manipulation or like bad actors in terms of Black Sky Feed or any kind of custom feed. I think that's, you know, helpful to kind of tell the story, right? And like I said, I remember very vividly when you first uncovered that and, you know, how that kind of had this whole avalanche effect.
Yeah. That was a wild day for me. That was the day I became the Blue Sky main character. And I want to be really clear, because people have tried to be like very revisionist about this since then, that like it wasn't just about who's blocking who. And it wasn't even about because a Black person could block half a Black Sky and that'd be fine, right? Like, it's who's blocking you is your, who you're blocking and why you block them is your business. The problem was the very specific context and dynamics that existed at the time. I said Black Sky is now like 3,500 people. At the time we're talking about, it was 400. And like, there were people who blocked all 400. And this was like all 400, this is literally all the Black people on the app. And so now, normally I personally don't care if, like, you know, those people who did that block them. It was the reason that was being described for why they were blocking all the Black people. There was basically this made up character who, like, this person, I don't even want to say their name or get into it. They basically, there was a person they were accusing of being a bad actor and malicious behavior, and who spreads just a person who they say spreads hateful content on Twitter. That person is Black, and they had started using Blue Sky, and because a lot of the Black people who are already on Blue Sky had no awareness or context of this person before, they're also interacting with them. And so then there became this thing of like, oh, they're like, Black Sky is harboring a serial harasser, and like all of Black Sky is like a part of this thing. And some people were very hurt by that, right? Because it's like, you just started using an app, and all of a sudden the majority of the users are accusing you of things that you didn't do, don't have any context of, or like know about, and are like blocking you so you can't see anything else going on outside of this bubble, and telling new users who sign up to block you as well. Like, that is a kind of a campaign. And it's evidence, because like, we saw that happening and we felt it and people were talking about it. And then the nature of Blue Sky, and it's one of their protocol flaws that they should figure out at some point, and they know they have to figure out, is that blocks on Blue Sky are public. If you mute someone, it's not public, it's private data. But if you block someone, it's public data. And I like to tinker. So I got in there, looked at all the blocks. Like, the network was small enough that I was able to look at every single user and all of their blocks and compare that to who's in Black Sky. And there were people who literally blocked 97% of Black Sky. Like, it was so obvious. And it was like their only blocks, you know. It was like, not only did they block most of Black Sky, most of their blocks were Black Sky. And so it was like, that I think justified exposing that and bringing that to light and saying like, that y'all shouldn't do that. And from there, people apologized, you know, people like wrote and was like, yo, like, we thought it was this thing and it wasn't. Some people stayed and left it that way and still block all those people, and that's fine. I hope they're doing well. But But yeah, other people were like, they just didn't realize. And so that's how some of this internet stuff gets really weird really quickly. I created a list, which is called the Green List, after the like the Green Book, to like warn people as well. It's like, you know, that felt like self-defense of like, hey, like there are people on here spreading this weird lie that all Black people are a part of this serial harassment group. And so like, these are the folks doing that, like, be aware. I end up deleting that because I just didn't want to keep maintaining a list like that. But yeah, that was the first incident that was like big. There's probably like three incidents that were like pretty big early on, but that was
the big
one I was involved in.
And that's to add insane. Additional context into what you uncovered, right? It wasn't even, in addition to their why, it was also these same people that, like, whether it be by their posting or like what's on their bio, using these inclusive languages, right? Like, and so that was like also a part of the hurt, right? Because they're supposed to be people that were also marginalized and should have understood and had kind of made these posts presenting as allies. And so that was also the additional layer, right? Like that added to the complexity and added to why some people were hurt and upset because of that, right? It's a whole different ball game if, you know, we had Radical Joe up here and we saw that he's just blocking every Black person, and we see from his post, from his bio, like, we just know what he's about 100%, right? Like, there's no guesswork that needs to be, like, involved. Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, we got Tiffany over here, we got BLM in her bio and all this kind of stuff. But it's like, you're blocking, you know, 98% of the Black users on, right, on Blue Sky at that time. Mm-hmm. And so, and then trying to justify it or, like, you know, whatever the case. So, like, that is also additional context that, like, also helps paint the full picture.
Yeah, because it was exactly like you mentioned. It was people who claimed to be allies and then were doing that. And I want to zoom out a bit on why this matters, because I feel like a lot of the time I've, like, started writing. A tricky thing for me is how, like, Black Sky has kind of only been covered by, like, TechCrunch for when there were these controversies. And I want it to be, like, I view it as bigger than the controversies, you know? Like, I think it's, like, important work. And I think Blue Sky and App Protocol and anyone who cares about those things succeeding should consider that for it to succeed, everyone should be able to have a safe and fun and enjoyable experience on the network. Whether it's this first Blue Sky app, whether it's someone building on the application, like on the network elsewhere, like it's very important to consider. And especially because the early group of users were also marginalized. And that was like, you know, and so it felt like folks should understand what it would feel like to be excluded in that way. But yeah, like it's important to uncover these things because we all want to have a safe and enjoyable experience online, and we should be able to do that. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really disheartening when things like that happen. We definitely have had comparable things in the Fediverse where people try to build, Black spaces, and for whatever reason, the existing culture there is just not friendly towards it. The supposed radically positive, progressive white people you see on there sometimes, like Tiffany with the BLM in her profile, are just like nasty, nasty people, and are totally like all about maintaining their exclusive space and spreading the kind of lies that, you know, you've talked about. But I kind of want to pivot for a moment, because obviously, just as you said, Black Sky is way more than just the controversy that the few tech publications that have written it about it have illustrated. Do you have any experiences, positive experiences, happy experiences, validating experiences of Black Sky where something amazing happened on it and it kind of signaled to you as a developer and as part of that space that, hey, I'm building this amazing thing and these amazing things are happening and I'm a part of it.
Yeah. I feel like there's so many there's been so many challenges, and there's a low-key one today, so it makes it hard to imagine. But I remember Super Bowl Sunday was a really fun day because of the challenges. People are kind of frequently like, well, Black Twitter will never migrate here, which, to be clear, I'm perfect. I don't want to be a clone of anything. I want things to be organic. I want people to like enjoy it for what they enjoy it for. I want it to maybe create like a new experience, a new community, you know? But it's kind of often come up that people are like, this won't be the next Black Twitter. And again, like not trying to be, but that day on Super Bowl Sunday, because it was such a Black event, with like Usher at the halftime show, and like Beyonce like releasing her album, that was one of those days where it was like a cultural moment. Like it felt like if someone was gonna, you know, when a lot of these blogs, maybe at least in the early days, would write about, report on what's happening on like Black Twitter or on Twitter, like that felt like a moment where you could like pull a bunch of those posts and like craft a story about how people reacted to seeing that event live. And I thought that was really, I felt really beautiful. Also just like whenever there's like just validation from like various different people, like Omar Wasso, who had founded Black Planet, had followed me. I thought that felt really cool. And just like him tuning in to what Black Sky is building. And just all the moments where like we just come together and like make jokes and like have fun, it's always good. Because so we've like turned and crafted certain things back into the way that Black people often do. Like there's like a pain, but we like turn it into like a joke and jest and get through it. There was again, with the whole idea that Black Sky is this group that like communes and like crafts harassment campaigns. Like we made a joke out of that one day where we were like, yeah, the Black Sky community meeting is next.
Yeah. Who's next on the agenda?
Yeah. Yeah. The council will convene. So moments like that, I find really, really, really touching.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Or when we're like in contrast to like what everyone else is saying, like when Derek Chauvin got shanked and it was like half the site was like, you know, it's like, well, prison's super bad. And this is why we should abolish prisons. And like Black Sky was just like, great. There was just
infinite. Oh my God.
Those are times when the feed is most active and perfectly in sync. I really love to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's awesome. And you've mentioned it a couple of times, Black Twitter, right? Like, mm-hmm. And obviously, look, you know, we're Black and part of that community. And so for like our listeners who may not really know, or maybe they've heard of it from, you know, some tech journalists or some right wing radical fighting against, you know, the woke mind virus, right? Like if you could, you know, shed light on, you know, what Black Twitter is and what it feels like and what it encapsulates, and kind of help paint that beautiful, vibrant picture that it is, right? That communal space that it is. Because as you said, right, like Black people, we take the good with the bad and, you know, we make the lemonade out, you know, make lemonade out of, you know, sour lemons, right? Like we make it sweet, we make it better, often in time by, you know, coming together with jokes or, you know, and things of that nature. And so I would love for you to, you know, to speak broadly, but then also, you know, specifically with your own personal experiences with Black Twitter.
Yeah, I would say that I can't say that I was ever like an active participant in Black Twitter, but I think across all these social apps, there is always like a Black community. Like there's like Black TikTok and Black Twitter. I've always been like a consumer of, and it's been cool to see, because I think from stuff that I've like since gone back and like read about it and like looked at the different conversations that have happened over time, I think the thing that stands out the most to me is how is the like joy, you know, like it's that it was also an organizing platform, which I think is the where I got the most invested into seeing like messages coming out of Twitter, like during for me during like 2020, during the George Floyd uprisings, and seeing how just like social media in general could be such a powerful organizing platform, and like spreading awareness and information, because the whole like all these movements and the movements, the organizing I do to this day happens online, like through technology in some way, and a lot of information is shared, and a lot of the like consciousness of how people think about things comes through messages like through Twitter. So there's that side of it for me, that I personally, I think, hold very close. But there's also the cool side of just seeing like all these like cultural moments that people still reference, like the Navy, the Trump Navy post. I forget that place, but when people were supposed to like link up and fight. All these moments that like the fact that people can consume a few posts and interactions between a couple people on just on an app and then like draw so much out of it is like, it just demonstrates the like cultural force that's behind that. I think I'm actually reading a book by Andre Brock, who is like a scholar who studied Black Twitter. And there's a part where he talks about Aisha Curry's, she had like a post talking about like women, her perspective on like women should cover up or not. And the responses, the kinds of responses that you get from that, it's like, I think a lot of times there's Black respectability politics, which is like how you should be seen in certain spaces, and like putting like a good face forward or whatever. And I think the thing that seems to stand out the most for me with Black Twitter is how it didn't care about respectability. It's all, you also see that come through on Black Sky, where there's, I don't know if I can even say this on the podcast, but there's...
No, go ahead. You can always edit it out if it's, you know.
Well, there's the nigga feed, which is someone built a feed using Sky Feed that is just a post with the N-word in it. And it's great. And I think a lot of Black Sky really loves that feed, but it's just those posts. And it's where you kind of get the most ratchet of Black Sky. And I think it's what people also want to see more in Black Sky. They want to see the not taking yourself too serious, the not like Black academic all the time. You know, I'm sure we like appreciate that, but they also want the dude who works at the store down the street and like whatever he got going on, you know?
Yeah. No, that's a really funny insight, and I appreciate you sharing that. I guess, what is the appeal of being on Blue Sky? What advantages do you see that it has over Black Twitter, or just Twitter in general? What about it appeals to you specifically?
This, I guess, it gets more like into like the technical side and like the theory behind what Blue Sky is building. So I align with that. So I also want to give the kind of preface that with something we were talking about before we started recording, which is that I as a technologist, I see myself as a technologist. I also see myself as like a community organizer, and also like viewing technology from a different perspective. I'm not going to throw too many labels on it, but very much not how like the Silicon Valley kind of folks view technology and what the purpose of building stuff. So I mentioned that I do mutual aid organizing with a group called We the People, and we have these food distros 3 times a week, every week in New York and Harlem, Bed-Stuy and Tompkins Park, supporting the migrants. And how like mutual aid organizing has really inspired me and how I view how you can use technology, because there are people during the pandemic, like doing like grocery deliveries and like building like Airtable systems to like get people's addresses and finding out what people need and how to like redistribute resources to folks, and like creating like whole GitHub repos and building infrastructure to like support that and do their mutual aid operations, which like is, it's this, the one time I've seen community organizing, which is unpaid work, and open source development, which is also unpaid work, having like this overlap. And yeah, I think there's just a dearth of people who are knowledgeable enough to build software that can do really cool things, like build software that does really impressive things, who is also looking at stuff from the kind of perspective that I have. Like, you know, people have this like meme of a tech bro. Like, I think I would consider myself anti that, where I'm not only just thinking about what I'm trying to build and what outcome I'm trying to drive, but I'm also trying to think about very much who will use that thing and how it will affect them, both positively and negatively. Like, just the ethics of it, like, are important, but also just like what someone's lived experience using something will be. And you don't have that choice with something like a Twitter, right? Like, it's centralized and it's under Elon's control, and whoever owns the platform, like, I think I saw a Stephen King tweet where he was like, you might have bought the platform, but you don't own the platform. And yeah. I don't think I necessarily agree with it. Like, he owns the platform. He can deplatform people. His symbolic position as the head of Twitter, like, when he's spouting white supremacist stuff and like amplifying that, it affects people, right, differently than if he was just another user of Twitter. Like, it's his product that you're using, you're in his house. And I think what's cool about a decentralized platform is that it allows for more perspectives to enter the conversation. Like, I think because people are used to centralized platforms, like, beyond just the services, right, it also is like we're now crafting a lot of this stuff together. And so, you know, we have Damon and I have like this mutual internet friend, Justin, who built a product that he built a tool called Clear Sky that lets people see who's blocked them. And again, the blocks are very controversial, right? But protocol allows for it. So Justin built it and a lot of people use it. And I think the blue sky line is that don't build block tools. And some of the third party devs like align with that. But like, once you open it up for a protocol, like, you've opened it up for other people to have opinions and perspectives and bring in their own worldviews into things. Like, so like, Blue Sky keeps touting algorithmic feeds a lot, because I think there's a large population of people who want algorithmic feeds, but they don't tout necessarily the community based feeds as much. And again, like, Black Sky has gotten a lot of traffic and gets a lot of usage, and I think is an important part of the platform. And so you can just see from like other developers coming into the ecosystem, like, it's not just what Blue Sky says goes anymore. And so that's where I think it's important. So basically, like, the freedom that allows and the creativity that it allows by them building an open platform allows someone who has this different mindset to come in and start shaping it to be more like them, like what their needs are and like what Black users' needs are. And, you know, like, I fundamentally believe that, like, you know, anti-Blackness has been on the internet for a long time. And like, for me, is like of the utmost problem. Cause right. Like, I would love to get on the internet and be able to be a part of a thriving, fun community and not experience anti-Blackness. Yeah. But people don't seem to have the kind of other people who are not Black. Like, maybe it makes sense that they don't view it as urgently as I do. because you can just see it in, like, when people talk about moderation issues, they talk about the Nazi problem, but no one talks about the anti-blackness problem.
Yeah. Because
anti-blackness perhaps is seen as more acceptable to some folks, but for me, it's just as unacceptable, you know? And so if we can't have our own control and be able to participate in a system like this, then we're left to, like, have the blue sky team hire a black person that cares and can make a change. And, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Who knows
what? No, it's a weird thing. It's a weird situation in which, like, a lot of white people's understanding of what racism is like the worst possible examples. They're like, oh, well, you know, I'm not out there wearing a hood and burning crosses. I must be okay. And, like, it seems like maybe when conversations about racism and what that means between two groups of people, it sometimes feels like the definitions between two groups is not even necessarily aligned. A lot of people, you know, they'll talk about their experiences with racism. And I think a classic, like, Mastodon HOA moment is that, you know, somebody that's not black will say, can you put a content warning on that? I'm feeling triggered by your statement and I don't want to see that in my feed. And, like, that's like the worst thing you could possibly say. But you're not, like, you know, doing what you would be thinking of as racism, you know, within that person's perspective. And I think, like, fighting anti-blackness online is such a weird challenge, and that a lot of people that think that they're pro-black don't actually know that they're in a lot of ways getting in the way and causing problems. And so I'm always curious, like, how do we mitigate that across different groups and make a better space for everybody, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a good point that I definitely want to hear Rudy touch upon, but you also led into where I wanted to go in terms of Mastodon, right? Because I can just envision our listeners and Mastodon users hearing what Rudy said and think, like, well, that's Mastodon, right? Like, you could do that on Mastodon. And so, you know, I wanted to get your perspective, Rudy, in terms of whether it be your own personal experience or other black and brown folks that, like, you've heard that attempted to migrate to Mastodon, and why you feel it's not sufficient enough, right? And why Blue Sky may offer a better experience in theory, right? For black users, right? And why it might be a little more adjacent towards, like, black Twitter than what Mastodon would be, and why the vision that you have for technology for the black and brown community, why you feel it's more likely to manifest via Blue Sky as opposed to Mastodon.
Heavy. I think I'm gonna trail off. I want to answer all of those, though. But I'll say, when you mentioned content warnings, I think I got really annoyed last year. It was on Blue Sky, but, like I mentioned, I do mutual aid organizing, and, like, the cops, like, harassed us at a mutual aid distro and arrested several of my friends, and it was very traumatizing. But, like, I wanted to raise awareness to that early on, just trying to use Blue Sky as, like, an organizing space. And someone, like, quote posted me and said, like that you should use, like, a content warning for police brutality. And I was like, a non-black person, I was like, you are the last person I'm trying to hear this from. And I'm also like, where I'm at jail support, like, you tweaking. I think that hasn't happened in a while, but that is my closest experience to, like, because I never really used Mastodon. I have an account on one of the servers, but that was the most Mastodon-like thing that has happened to me, and I think that is something that can make you feel very unwelcomed. What is different about Mastodon to Blue Sky? Here's where the fundamental thing is around how Mastodon has its servers and instances. So it's kind of like the extreme, right? There's trade-offs to like, there's trade-offs between like the safety and then also like community building and engagement. So while could Black people like use Mastodon and like feel safe? Probably, right? But it would probably require isolating from like everything. And that is, I think what is very different with what App Protocol is building is how it doesn't require you to isolate in order to be safe. Is the premise? It is the like to be proven, right? Because it's like, okay, if me and my 10 friends were in just one instance and we never connected with anyone, or if we defederate from like most of the network, then yeah, we'll never see harmful content because we'll just maybe never see content. And that was like my experience with using Mastodon. The server I signed up with, I just wasn't seeing Black people. And I think there wasn't like search features really per se. And there isn't like a type of feed, there isn't like the algorithms in the way Black, like Blue Sky has it. So I was safe, but I was also bored. You know, I wasn't having interactions. And so the thing that you get with a centralized platform is you have access to the whole network, but you have like a team that's dedicated, that is like keeping you safe, right? That has to shovel tons of money into it in order to keep it that way, to maintain that experience. What is unique about Blue Sky is that you don't have to isolate to start building those community boundaries. Like Black Sky through the custom feed kind of builds a boundary, but you also have access to the whole network and the whole network can view it. So it's like fundamentally different. Like I know Blue Sky, I think, started using the federated language early on, but I would say it's closer to, for me, Blue Sky is closer to a Twitter than it is to a Mastodon, just in that way. And then vision for the future, right? So I think a common misconception with Blue Sky is that thinking that it's closer to Mastodon than it is to Twitter, people think that there is no centralized moderation team with Blue Sky, but there is. There is Blue Sky, the way its moderation is supposed to be set up is that it has a centralized mod team and then people can build on top of that. So, and the next thing I have to write about is there's all these possible alternative paths, but ignoring that for the moment, like the general user's expectation when you sign up is like, it should feel like Twitter. You get a bunch of different algorithms you can tune into. You can quickly find your Black Twitter or your Black Sky, and you are safe because there's a group of people who are paid to moderate the content that you see. But then there's also this additional layer that like a third party dev like myself could like build that can just enhance that. So like maybe Blue Sky shouldn't be expected to know like all the different forms of anti-Blackness. Basically, like you can kind of like, there's things that they won't pick up, but a dev like myself could build that moderation into it. And then this is just like additive, you know, like, so if people want to see, there's like a baseline provided and then people can like add these extensions to like filter out further content. And it's like flexible in that way. Another thing, I actually just had a call with one of the Blue Sky devs yesterday and was brainstorming how to like explain certain things and coming up with like possible new ideas. But like one example is like, you could build something with Blue Sky that like hides ads if someone builds ads into the platform. If someone finds a way to build ads into the platform, there's ways to like circumnavigate that. There's also ways to like, if you find that there's a certain, like you can swap CDN links. Like there's at the protocol level, there's a more granularity that is afforded and you can get more creative, I think, from what I understand.
Yeah, that's really insightful. And, you know, I definitely kind of understand where you're coming from with just being able to reach into a large pool of where everybody's at and sort of filter down to what you want to see. I think that is probably a much more preferable way to have a network experience than trying to build some little like island off in the dark that like doesn't actually connect to anything or have that much to talk about. So that's always kind of an interesting contrast.
Yeah. You've been great and really thoughtful with your responses and transparent. So I wanted to thank you first and foremost for that. But just for the people that are out there, right, because we're going into this new space in terms of like the general public learning about these decentralized spaces, right? Like, and not just associating the term with crypto, you know, whether it be through the Activity Pub protocol or at Proto, or, you know, especially like once Thread joins the Activity Pub protocol towards the end of this year, you know, and that's 130 million accounts right there plus. Mm-hmm. And so just to the general public and to the Black Twitter users, you know, that might be hesitant, right, to jump on board. You know, what would you say, you know, to those people that are just thinking like, oh, this is kind of a fad, or just this like this whole, you know, Twitter clone that's not going to go anywhere. Like, mm-hmm. You know, what do you say to those people to kind of encourage them or nudge them to say, hey, you know, like this is worth giving it a shot?
Yeah, I would say that this. So the maybe I hope it doesn't come off as like dodging the question, but the interesting thing with App Protocol is that it's you don't have to actually like Blue Sky itself. So while I would love for more people to join Blue Sky specifically, very soon, like by the end of this month, they're supposed to be opening up Federation, and I think pretty shortly after that, following on, like allowing people to build alternative apps onto the platform. So while I would say that like Blue Sky specifically, I think it's pretty cool and I think you can have a good time on it, but you may end up liking the other apps that end up getting built on App Protocol. So there is that. On the, for Black Twitter, I think I feel like the pitch for those folks would be like, We have more ownership over this space than I think has been given credit to it. And it's also like evolved so rapidly, you know, like in June of last year, it was just like going from like Elon-less Twitter. Now though, as more stuff gets built, it's like you can get the similar experience as you got on Twitter. But we have more ownership and control over that infrastructure. So if someone were to care about that side of it, that would kind of be my pitch. I suspect that like people just want more people in Blue Sky, and that's going to take like a little bit of time. But yeah, the thing that excites me the most is the degree of control that we have over this ecosystem versus being virtually powerless. Like I think people think their usage of a platform kind of means that like they can kind of control the platform, but you really don't if you don't control the infrastructure to it, you know? And so, yeah, that would be my pitch. And then the decentralization, I don't think people care about decentralization. So I would caution people to, instead of pitching decentralization to folks,
pitch control and freedom.
Pitch control, pitch freedom, pitch choice, pitch that, pitch the cool new things that are being done. Like I do think that people are like, if I'm going to sign up for a new app, like what's the cool thing that this app is going to do? And a lot of times we're like, where Blue Sky is right now is that it lacks certain core features that you would expect on a social app, like DMs, and like maybe some more privacy features. And then what I hope Blue Sky really figures out is, because the protocol does not accommodate for direct messages and the protocol does not accommodate for private conversations in general, or so like private accounts. And so I think it really needs to like figure that part out. So if there's people who are like, I almost kind of caution some people, like if those things are like important for you, then, you know, you may need to rely on the like centralized platforms, but for that isn't, I think you can use multiple apps, and I think Blue Sky has some cool stuff to offer.
Well, that's an awesome pitch.
I can't let you, I gotta squeeze this last one in there. I can't let you leave without asking you this question. If you haven't, but I'm pretty sure you've seen it, in terms of some of the uproar happening with Mastodon about the Fedi bridge, you know, that kind of will bridge, you know, the two protocols.
Restart, man. Let bro live.
Yeah, right? Like, he's not trying to harm anybody, but I just wanted to know what your thoughts are, you know, on it and the potential connectivity of the protocols and being able to follow people that maybe might be of interest, you know, to you that might be on Mastodon, right? And then vice versa.
Yeah, I'm so anti-zero-sum thinking that there has to be, like, one tool or ecosystem that like trumps all. Like, I would like the expansive mindset that all of these things can kind of interop and like you can pick wherever you want and there's some type of connectedness to it. I think walled gardens are a design of capitalism, not necessarily technology. Like, there's nothing that says technology can't. Like, technology is designed, like, people build APIs, like, it's designed to connect to each other. I think people have to be cautious about, like, what, like, where that comes from. Like, who wins if there's one product or solution that, like, wins and, like, everything else dies, you know? Like, the founders of whoever built that thing, but, like, is it the ecosystem itself? So, yeah, I think it's a good thing. Probably needs work. I think people judge things too soon. Like the people who thought had one opinion of Black Sky. Like, I've seen the cool thing about watching Black Sky is see opinions change. Like, I see the same people post one thing, you know, a few months ago, and then you see them change course months later. And so, you know, I would say to Snarf, like, I don't know. I think it's tough in those moments, but you know, you don't. There's always opportunity to like make stuff better. And yeah, I would like to see more connectedness. I would like to see less black boxes. I would like to see less gatekeeping. I'm all for positive sum thinking, interoperability. Like, that's why I say, like, with Black Sky, like, I don't think of it as trying to be like a next Twitter. I started calling it just like the last black social network, because like, ideally it would, if Spill could, the same way Threads adopted ActivityPub, like Spill could adopt at protocol, and then Black Sky would just be connected to Spill. Like, there's no reason that one thing has to win out over the other. So I hope the Fedi Bridge stuff works out in like a cool way.
Yeah.
Mastodon people are already on Blue Sky asking me 100 questions about the app protocol. So there being a bridge is not going to be too different.
No, and I think a lot of people have failed to grasp that two networks talking to each other through a bridge is not that much different from two servers talking to each other. So, like, you know, it's not that big of a deal. They're able to ask you questions just like they are right now, just from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice or insights for anyone that wants to get into Blue Sky and wants to start building for it? Like, if they have an idea and they want to get into it, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I don't know when this episode is going to drop, but there's actually hosting a hackathon in San Francisco. One of those, the For You page, which is like an algorithm feed, they just got into Y Combinator, and they're having a hackathon at the YC office for like algorithmic stuff. There's a ton of like interest in, because people like the Blue Sky team and people in the ecosystem want to see it grow. So I'd say jump in. There's an unofficial dev Discord you can join. People are pretty helpful and responsive there. Some Blue Sky team people are in there. The other devs are in there. Federation is opening up. Lexicons will open up. So there's like, you could start building a dating app if you wanted to on Blue Sky pretty soon, or not on Blue Sky, app protocol pretty soon. And yeah, so I would say jump in. They just launched a new docs website that is particularly catered towards not people doing like this, the like infrastructure server level stuff, but more like the application interacting stuff. So there's so many different places you can dive in as far as building. So yeah, I'd say, yeah, the Dev Discord's a good landing place though to start interacting with folks and bring your ideas. And I think people are super interested in hearing what people want to build. There's people talking about building like Lemmy, but for App Protocol, all those things.
Well, do you have any last parting thoughts before we go?
Last parting thoughts is that, yeah, I hope, well, firstly, I appreciate y'all inviting me on here and being able to talk a little bit about Blue Sky and Black Sky. Ultimately, hope everybody gets what they want and have their enjoyable social experience. I hope more people join the App Protocol ecosystem, like not just builders too, but like people who have like a, you know, want to see communities thrive and want to see healthy online communities and are thinking about that and also like challenging some of these things, because, you know, Blue Sky is like it's a VC backed startup. So you need folks in the community who are willing to participate, offer critique and like see it grow and take an active stance in that. So hopefully see more people join the network. Yeah. And check out Black Sky for sure and show support. We're trying to, you know, these servers ain't free.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Rudy. This has been another episode of the Descender Podcast. You can follow us at hello@social.wedistribute.org. You can also follow us on bluesky@wedistribute.org, or you can follow Rudy and his work at rudyfraser.com on Blue Sky. Thank you so much for joining us, and you've been the best.
Thanks, y'all.